Hi, this is Mike Edelhart, and I'm here with another edition of Inception, our podcast and kind of homegrown video cast about beginnings of new ideas in science and consumer and how we can get delight into the lives of individuals, sometimes even a little glimpse of the future. And there are bits and pieces of all that in what we're going to talk about today. I'm here with Nick West of Bandit Running. You have to be one of the most unique and fascinating companies we've invested in. We love new business models. You've got one, and it's really cool. So maybe we should just start out by having you talk about what Bandit Running is and how you came to be doing it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thanks for having me. Really excited to have the support of Joyann's partners. So yeah, Bandit is, the way that we describe it, is a community-obsessed, next-generation performance and lifestyle apparel brand specifically focused on runners. Community-obsessed for us, and the reason why that's so important up front is because we really feel like we have an innovative playbook in the consumer brand world relative to how other brands have gone to market in the past. For us, building this brand is all about creating emotional connections with the running community. And we happen to be based out of Brooklyn, New York, New York City being really the global hotbed of running culture. And so there are hundreds of running clubs and crews and collectives, and that kind of nucleus of running culture is really actually closely connected with run scenes throughout the world. And so Bandit was really born out of just an appreciation for running culture in New York City. It wasn't as much like a business school white space case study. It was much more my brother's my co-founder. We grew up in New Jersey, kind of in the skateboarding and surfing scene. And we always really appreciated brands that were born out of the skate and surf community. And so we've always had this kind of obsession with just really organically created, super authentic consumer brands. And when my brother got super deeply integrated into the running scene in New York during the pandemic, it was just really clear that there were parallels to these other subcultures. And so the brand started out really organically, self-funded for the entire first year. Our first product was a performance running sock. And that was part, we started with a sock out of necessity because the costs for launching like head-to-toe apparel is just super, super high. But a sock is a great repeat trust building product with high margins and low minimums. And we also felt like it was a product that a lot of the bigger companies didn't really care about. It's a bit of an afterthought kind of commodity product. And so after prototyping and testing and then creating content with really our friends in the New York City running community, we first dropped our first batch of socks in October 2020. Telling ourselves that we wanted it to be organic. We didn't spend a dollar on marketing in the entire first year. And I think that authenticity and that community first approach, those are really the core tenets by which we've looked to scale the brand since the very beginning. So after that first year, we kind of looked back, dissected the magic of as to how the brand grew, took all of our past experience. My brother and I both come from the e-commerce and consumer brand world. And we really thought about what kind of a new consumer brand playbook would look like and how we would reconcile that against the fact that we want to build a community first brand and not a brand that's just, you know, built on paid ads. Right. We've continued to focus on making this really authentic and organically grown. And it's been a pretty wild ride since that first very scrappy year.
We were frankly stunned by how much you guys had accomplished with no outside funding coming in so short period of time. It was really something. I'm curious as to how much of this was calculated. The two of you are sitting around saying, we need a designer. You find a third co-founder who's great at that, and we have a plan. Or how much is it you're into running and you think this might work? So you just sort of do one thing and then you do another. And as you look at it, the strategy kind of emerges from the activities or some other, you know, approach that you guys had?
Yeah, I think during the first year, it was when we just had the performance socks, it was very instinctual and we were really learning the nuances of run culture and the sport of running and really just taking notes as to all of the different touch points in a runner's journey and really starting to understand that not just the product, but all of the different ways that that runners interact with the sport of running are kind of ripe for disruption. And so after that first year, we raised some seed funding and we took really like the first 2 months after raising that round, thinking about really it started with the mission and the vision. And because we saw that so much of the sport we felt like was ripe for disruption, the mission, and it literally took 2 to 3 months just to whittle it down to our mission now, which is just two words, which is evolve running. And the vision is to be the most community obsessed brand in the world. And I would say during that period, we definitely put a lot of what has created our traction between then and now on paper. We knew that we wanted to be a head to toe brand. We knew that we wanted to serve, women and create really great female focused product as much as male focused product. And we knew that to be a brand in this kind of next generation of consumer brands, that we had to build our marketing team to focus on really two things, like driving sales organically and again, not being reliant on paid, and two, focusing just as much on retention and loyalty as much as just pure new customer acquisition. And so after we built that playbook, then, we thought about what key players on the team we would need. And so we hired our designer, one of the foremost activewear designers in the world, as our co-founder. Our first hire outside of that, and I would say this is super atypical, was a head of community and partnerships, because we knew that we wanted to take this community first approach and we wanted to invest in that and figure out how to do it in a scalable way. So we hired this guy, Steve Finley. He was a pro runner at Nike. He was then a coach there. He launched Nike's marathon training program. And then the next two guys on the marketing team also came from Nike. And everybody on our apparel design team, it's a purely female apparel design team, just really, really understands and is inspired by, I think, how much innovation can be brought from a product standpoint into the sport of running. And so I would definitely say first phase, scrappy, instinctual, being very absorbing of the running industry and being patient, and then really putting the learnings on paper and being strategic about how we can go about building an iconic brand.
Well, whatever you're doing, it's working. So community obsessed product. So are you surveying folks a lot? Are you talking to them a lot? Are you just showing them a lot of things that could be available to them and then pursuing the ones where you get a particularly strong reaction? How are you aware of what the community is looking for and will respond to? And then how do you react to that?
Yeah, the answer to that is like very concrete and tangible. We have what we call a community-centered design process on the product side. And that takes kind of two different parts. The first part is actually having community members come into our office very regularly to give us feedback both on our products and other products in the industry that they love, that they don't love, that they feel could be iterated and innovated upon. And then, so that's the in-person piece. We also just have a lot of feedback functionality through our user experience on our website. Our membership, which is our loyalty program, has us, one of the main benefits there is getting close friends access on our Instagram, and we're constantly polling them and asking them what they like about our products. We've chosen colorways based on surveys that we've put out to our customers. And then we do a lot of just pop-up activations at major marathons where the majority of our team is there interacting with the community. And a lot of the times, you can be looking at this huge data set and it's telling you one thing, but in person, you hear these really powerful anecdotes. And so we try to balance those two things. But yeah, it's a really concrete process. It's actually like interacting with the community, talking to them, and then pairing that with the unique perspective that we have on aesthetic and style. And that comes from our design team. And that's very rooted in the spirit of New York City. And the output of that kind of New York City centric attitude and aesthetic and this community centered design process is really kind of what makes Bandit special.
So you've done really well at gathering and serving a running community in New York. So where does it go from here? Is it a running community in New Jersey, running community in DC, to become a running centric brand wherever there might be intensity? Or is it a New York focused, a really big city focused brand that starts to move from running to pickleball or other sports where there might be intense communities? Have you gotten to the point yet where you're weighing those options?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, if you look at our marketing, and it's very intentional, feels like a very New York centric brand. Our whole team is in New York, New York being, again, the hotbed of running culture, but also, you know, one of the global hubs of fashion culture, and just a city that influences other cities globally. We definitely kind of telegraph that New York nature in everything we do. The minority percentage of our sales are already outside of New York City. And so we've done product collaborations with, we did a run club in Copenhagen. We are doing a really big product collaboration with the biggest run club in Berlin for the 50th anniversary. The majority of our wholesale accounts are outside of New York City. And so we're definitely looking to build community. I mean, New York City is definitely like the hub, extremely important, but we've already really focused and started building bridges both globally and in other major running cities in the US. To the second part of the question, in terms of, you know, thinking about other sports or just other areas to focus on, we've really engineered the brand from the beginning to have breadth and the ability to reach outside of the sport of running. And I think the best analogy is like Lululemon. In the early days, it was for people who practice yoga. And it's over time kind of earned the respect from athletes and a lot of other sports, including running, and just, you know, everyday active wear and athleisure. And we've always, the North Star has been, think about that broader concentric circle of sportswear. And we've really kind of shown our customers from the beginning that we want to have that that range outside of running while keeping, you know, the core of the spirit of the brand in the sport. But we did a soccer inspired capsule collection last year. We have another one upcoming this year. That's a sport that my brother and I just hold close to our hearts. I played growing up. He was a D1 college player. And so I think we'll do interesting things, collaborations and partnerships that show that we can have that range pretty early on while keeping the spirit of running. But the goal is really to be like an iconic sportswear brand. That's what we're looking to long term.
How is it working with your brother? I can imagine folks that have siblings listening to this go, if I was working with my sibling, it would be hell to pay all day long. You know, we'd be sniping at one another, we'd be undercutting one another, we'd be overpraising one another, whatever we'd be doing, it wouldn't be normal. So what about you guys?
Yeah, I get that question a lot. It's funny. I think we're lucky in that we have very, very complementary skill sets and not a lot of overlap in terms of what we even want to be working on day to day. He's very much on the marketing and creative side, and he also builds just the website, and we have a marathon training app that he built. He's always been on that kind of digital experience and creative side, where I've always been on the business and operations side. And so that's very lucky, because I think a lot of like the friction with any early co-founders comes when two people have different ideas about the same thing. That being said, I mean, there's, you know, we butt heads. We're both super competitive people. We've gotten a lot better since we started working together. Luckily, we had worked at jet.com together about 5 or 6 years ago. So we kind of knew what it was like. It's a lot more intense sitting next to each other for 12 hours a day. But I would say that we've both kind of learned a lot about each other and how to work better together over time. And I think there's a mutual understanding that when we are butting heads or there's friction, that we're both doing it in the interest of the brand. And we try not to take anything personally, but brothers will be brothers. So there's always some heated times.
And looking forward, so how would you characterize where you are right now? Beachhead, really astride the core community you're aiming at. And given that, what next? What do you expect the next year to bring for Bandit?
Yeah, I would say right now we are a cult running brand. You know, it's the most engaged with brand on Instagram in the world of running right now. It's an incredibly loyal core audience. And I think this year we're looking to more than double that audience. And so it's really across the next year, taking all the learnings that we had from the first kind of 17 months out of the gate since the launch of our first head to toe apparel line, tweaking and iterating and improving on the things that didn't have the return that we expected, or the products that that didn't resonate with the community as much, and really just making less mistakes than you make in the first year. I think it's always about having more wins than losses. In the early days, there's just so much learning. There's so little data. So a lot of it is just trying to make really smart bets. But I think very tactically in the business, we're going to be opening up, and this is like super brand new news, but we're going to be opening up a flagship store in Manhattan, in the West Village in May. It's on the second most trafficked running corner in all of Lower Manhattan. It's an incredible location. It's going to be both a retail and a community hub. So we're super excited about that. We're more than doubling our wholesale account base, really aligning with great specialty stores that are community oriented and are willing to represent our brand the right way. We've got a great partnership with ASICS, and we're going to be doing some really interesting product collaborations that we'll be launching later this year at the New York City Marathon. And then again, just really focusing on making sure that we're serving the community and building products alongside of them and listening to them. And that's, again, the core of what we do. And then in every conversation that we have internally, again, it comes back to the mission of evolving running, how we can be doing things in new and refreshing ways and staying ahead of the curve and being a little bit unpredictable. And yeah, just doing exciting things in the sport of running and making it better and inspiring more participation and passion in the sport.
So you guys are both pretty serious runners. And I understand your dad was like sort of a semi-obsessive long distance runner too. So you were literally born to it. Do you think everybody on the team has to be a runner? Will that day come that you're going to bring somebody in for their skills, but they're a little bit not of the culture? Can that ever happen given what you're trying to do?
I think we have a pretty wide spectrum. I mean, we only have 13 full-time employees, so it can't be that wide of a spectrum, but there are a couple folks on the team who don't run that much. I definitely will do a half marathon here and there, whereas my brother is an ultra marathoner. He's done the New York City Marathon 6 times. We do have pro runners. Ardith, our co-founder, was a D1 runner. And then we have some hobby joggers on the team. I think it's really important to have that kind of broad range of perspectives. And I think the bar really for hiring isn't as much about, are you a runner? Are you really obsessed with running culture? But do you believe in the power of the sport of running? And are you excited about what we're doing? That's kind of like the bar. You have to be excited about what we're putting out into the world, our mission. And you don't necessarily have to be. I mean, last company that I launched was a baby food company, and I didn't have a child at the time, and I still was very inspired by it. So I don't think it's a prerequisite. And I think if anything, it's good to have that perspective of being outside of the sport, because sometimes you can get a little bit too caught up in the details of the sport. And it's good to have that broad range.
Yeah, I can see that. And we had one of our earlier companies was designed to transform recruitment through digital. And that CEO made the point that if he'd actually come from recruitment, he couldn't have built the company because he'd have brought all the recognized practices and norms and standards and everything with him. And he didn't know anything. So he just came in, looked at it cold, came up with a whole radically different set of approaches. And that's one reason why he succeeded. And I would think to some degree, it might be similar here that if somebody just looked at it with fresh eyes, they might say, why don't you X? And someone who had built up all that habit might not have ever thought that or said it because it wouldn't be native to them. And they might think it sounds stupid if they said it out loud.
Yeah, totally. I mean, yeah, well, we're runners. We've never done an apparel brand. We didn't really know the nuances of running apparel. We hired the right people to fill in a lot of the blanks, but a lot of the things that my brother and I put on paper in the early days, I would say came from that kind of ignorance is bliss standpoint where it's like, why aren't people doing this in the industry? We feel like this can be done better. And I think you're right. If we had been, you know, working at Nike and running our whole careers, that might've been a little bit obscured or restricted in terms of the way we think.
Got it. So, well, we're super excited about the relationship with you guys. We think this is one of the first expressions that we've seen that's super effective at actually turning community into commerce. A lot of talk about it, but precious little actual successful example on the ground of it. And you are that. As you say, none of that traditional marketing stuff, the dependence on ad spend or any of that. It's so organic that the folks that are running are producing the interactions and information and guidance that creates the products that deepen the community. It's really fascinating. And we can't wait to see what happens, next.
Yeah, we're really excited. We have, I think, a lot of great things in store for the running community. Obviously, also very excited to be partners with you all. And hopefully your audience gets excited by the brand. You can find us on banditrunning.com and on @banditrunning on Instagram. We've got a lot of really fun stuff coming out this year.
Cool. Can't wait to see. Great to see you. Delighted to be investors. A wonderful implementation of a great idea.
Thanks so much, Mike. Thanks for having me.